Let's turn in God's Word in the book of Leviticus, chapter 12. Leviticus chapter 12, which the Belgic Confession declares is a proclamation of our salvation in Christ. And it certainly is. Leviticus chapter 12. People of God, hear the good news of the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. As in the days of her customary impurity, she shall be unclean. And on the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her customary impurity, and she shall continue in the blood of her purification 66 days. And when the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether for a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who has borne a male or a female. And if she is not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, one as a burnt offering, the other as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her, and she will be clean." Well, people of God, that word is certainly picked up in Luke chapter 2, 22 through 24. Luke chapter 2, 22 through 24. I would just like to read those verses now as well. Starting with verse 21. "And when the days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. People of God, this reading of the Word of God, we look together at this text, old and new, to pick up the themes in the Belgic Confession concerning baptism, particularly infant baptism. Article 34 of the Belgic Confession. Article 34. It's on page 86. We've read through the second column, the first open paragraph. We'll drop down to the second open paragraph, Belgic Confession, Article 34. "We believe, therefore, that every man who is earnestly studious of obtaining life eternal ought to be baptized but once with this only baptism, without ever repeating the same, since we cannot be born twice. Neither does this baptism avail us only at the time when the water is poured upon us and received by us, but also through the whole course of our life. Therefore, we detest the error of the Anabaptists, who are not content with the one only baptism they have once received, and moreover condemn the baptism of infants of believers, who we believe ought to be baptized and sealed with the sign of the covenant, as the children of Israel formerly were circumcised upon the same promises which are made unto our children. And indeed, Christ shed his blood no less for the washing of the children of believers than for adult persons. And therefore they ought to receive a sign and sacrament of that which Christ has done for them, as the Lord commanded in the law, that they should be made partakers of the sacrament of Christ's suffering and death shortly after they were born, by offering for them a lamb, which was a sacrament of Jesus Christ. Moreover, what circumcision was to the Jews, baptism is to our children. And for this reason, St. Paul calls baptism the circumcision of Christ. But people of God, I need to say at the outset that we will be looking more at in depth. We will be looking in depth at the flood, the passing of the Red Sea, and these birth offerings and washings in Leviticus 12, but we'll not be looking at circumcision. So we're skipping point two if you have an outline before you. Baptism, Old Testament, its roots, the ceremonial law, the promise that is given. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, we read these words that are declared to particularly, Peter is preaching to Jews. Peter is preaching to the Jews, or likely as well, those who are converted to Judaism, who have come to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. And of course, the Spirit is poured out. And in that context, Peter declares this. Then Peter said to them, well, they have heard the first sermon of the New Testament church. And verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Well, in verse 39, there's a declaration that to you and your children, you are the near ones. To all who are far off would be Gentiles who had never heard of the Lord God, not been circumcised in their youth, not been trained in the synagogues, not part of the external covenant people of God, which the external people of God were being preached to by Peter in Jerusalem during this feast. So it is the promise of God that is central in this text. It is central to the Scripture. Now, there's a central promise. I asked my catechism class what the central promise is. I won't have them answer that question here tonight. But that promise is, I will be a God to you and to your descendants after you. That is the promise, that God will be our God and we will be His people. He fulfills that promise in and through Jesus Christ. That promise is tied up to justification by faith, by grace through faith, salvation by grace alone, God's people set apart from the world to live in a new community of faith. It involves the promises that are given to us, to believers, and to their children. The Belgic Confession will then draw on a number of allusions, a number of declarations that the New Testament makes concerning baptism, or the nature of these promises, or the proclamation of these promises in the Old Testament. And in the latter part of the Belgic Confession, it brings these things forth to say these are proofs for infant baptism, that our children ought to receive the external sign of an internal reality, even though there's a clear distinction between the external and the internal. The external proclamation of the promise through, in the New Testament, baptism, Lord's Supper, And in the Old Testament, numerous sacramental, or should I say, shadow sacramental signs and seals, the most important of which is circumcision. And we will look at that alone by itself. But there are many other New Testament declarations about baptism in the Old Testament. One in particular that's rather difficult, and we'll get to that one last, the ceremonial washings. The people of God, these declarations of Leviticus come, even how Leviticus begins, it comes to believers and their children. And that is the constant theme and work of God in the Old Testament. We see that theme of believers and their children in a phrase that we don't even think of when we think of believers and their children. Because there's a believer and his children that is emphasized. In fact, it's the way God describes the whole covenant community of the nation of Israel at the time of Moses. When he goes in Leviticus chapter 12, verse 1, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel." Israel, Jacob, was a believer, and to his children. It is a believer and his children. And that's just a common way in which God will speak, whether it's to the believer Noah and his children, whether it's to the Israel, the believer and his children, which is an entire nation at this moment in Leviticus chapter 12, whether it's to a believer, a woman and her children, either male or female, in the context of the purification of herself and her children, and the sign and seal of the purification of the blood of Christ, it's to the woman and her children who are all involved. God's word is consistent. The word of God comes by the verbal proclamation and the sacramental sign to believers and their children. The themes of that are already seen in the flood. I would say, Pastor, how do we get to the flood from Leviticus chapter 12? Because they're the same theme. The theme of Leviticus chapter 12, and our third point tonight, is water, pure, and in Leviticus 12, water being involved in purification is there. We'll see that in a moment. Water and judgment. Water and the judgment of God against uncleanness, unfaithfulness, rebellion to Him. And a way of escape. A way of escape from the judgment of God. Water and blood in Scripture are parallel. And they have they're a two-edged sword. Water and blood. They are a declaration of cleansing. Blood and water are a declaration of cleansing and atonement, grace and mercy. And water and blood are a declaration of God's wrath and destruction. Water and blood are life and death. Water is, in the word of God, that which brings life. A rain upon the ground, life. Water you drink, life. And water is a symbol of death and destruction. The great flood. The sea. The Red Sea, and part going through the Red Sea. Water and blood are signs of curse and blessing. Blood, shed blood, is a sign. Flowing blood is a sign of uncleanness, of death and punishment. But in a sacrifice, it's a sign of atonement that results in cleanliness. water, that sign of judgment and life. And so, people of God, as we think of all three of these illustrations, which ultimately are declared to be an Old Testament root of baptism, and baptism in such a way that we see how infant baptism fits so clearly with God's proclamation of the promises of grace, we will come to declare that this great gospel truth now must be carried on and given to us and to our children, verbally and sacramentally. Well, first, then, baptized into the ark in the context of the flood. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. As we look at the flood as to help us give an Old Testament background to baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3, 18 through 22. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. People of God, this is saying that baptism is the antitype and the flood and the ark is the type. It's the type. It's a type. It's an Old Testament shadow event, which is a type of baptism. And what is it? Well, not all of you were here last week, but for those who were, we emphasize that baptism is a baptism that is a sign, and there's an external baptism, but the internal baptism is that we are baptized into Christ. We're baptized into Christ. And as we are in Christ, we receive all the blessings of God. And the flood is a type of baptism in that all those who were baptized into the ark passed through the judgment of the flood and received the blessings of God, believing Noah and his family and his seed, the covenant community of the day, was saved by being baptized into the ark. They were in the ark, and the ark became that place of refuge through which they passed through the waters of the judgment of God. Even so, it is only because we are internally and invisibly baptized into Christ that we will pass through the fire of the judgment of God at the end of time. And so you have this theme of baptism. But the flood was an external baptism shadow. It wasn't internal. It was an external. It was the external community of God. And it was the believer, Noah, and his family that were saved there. They passed through the water. In 2 Peter chapter 3, the book of Peter has a theme of the flood. 2 Peter, or the books of Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, 3 through 7, we read these words. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens, which will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. People of God, as in the days of Noah, when people were waiting for the judgment, although they didn't know the judgment, but the believing community was waiting for the judgment of God. And that judgment of God, they were saved from that judgment by being in the ark. But ultimately, that ark was pointing them to Christ, that in Christ is their only hope of salvation to escape the judgment of fire at the end of time and the judgment of eternal hell. But notice this as well, that in that judgment, God's people are given victory over their enemies. God's people are preserved through their enemies. God's judgment will ultimately bring total victory to the people of God in the context of this world. The unbelieving generation of Noah was destroyed by the judgment. The believing covenant community escaped it. The waters of salvation are a water of separation between unbeliever and believing community. The promise that is given to Noah and his descendants looks forward to Christ. Now, that's the same themes that come in the context of the Red Sea. Baptism is seen in Moses and the people of Israel walking through the Red Sea. The sea, the judgment of God against all ungodliness. The nation of Israel deserved to be drowned as well. They were not a perfect people. It is only because they were ultimately, and those who were true believers, baptized into Christ himself, that they could pass through as an external covenant of covenant community through the water. It's because they were baptized. You see the similarity of water. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we have these words concerning that. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. This is a reference to Israel going through the Red Sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. The external community were baptized into Moses, an external baptism. It was a community of faith. It was believers and their children. It was the whole group, both true elect and true believer, both those who would ultimately have the inward working of the Holy Spirit to bring them to true faith, and those who would ultimately reject God. But they were all baptized into Moses. They all externally walked through the Red Sea. They were all externally saved from the physical water, which all points to Christ. It is a sign of baptism. And who was saved in the sea? Who was saved from the water? Who passed through? One might say that the only people who were really baptized into Moses were the people who were ultimately elect and at that moment saved. So when they passed through the sea, God said, the only people that can be baptized into Moses are those who are absolute true believers, and those children who aren't yet saved, they can't pass through the sea. And anyone who is a hypocrite, they can't pass through the sea. It's only the invisible church that can pass through the sea. So let's make that distinction now, and you can't have your children baptized here. So leave them on the bank. Let them stay. No. God said that the fathers and their households and the children and even the hypocrites and even those who would ultimately reject him in the wilderness, they all were baptized into Moses, just as all children of believers are baptized. That's why the Belgic Confession brings up passing through the sea in the article on baptism. And it points to the external covenant community having a significant place in the way in which God saves his people. Now it so happens that we know that the external community, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you want to read on, it talks about all the sins that this external covenant community were engaged with as they were walking through the wilderness. But who were the shining lights? There's several places in the Old Testament where there's a generation that's a shining light of belief and faith in God. And you know who the shining lights were in the crossing of the Red Sea? What was the group that went into Canaan? It was the babies and the children who passed through the Red Sea that became the heroes of faith and who believed God. And then passed through the Jordan, and then were circumcised at the gates of the Jericho, and then who conquered the land of Canaan. It was those babies who received the promise because they were baptized into Moses, and they received the promise, they received the instructions of God. It was those babies and little children of that covenant community who became the example to their parents. Because God was working and dealing with an external community to draw to himself his invisible church. But you can't say that the external signs and seals, the external sign of being baptized into Moses and therefore walking through the water, the physical water of the Red Sea that destroyed Pharaoh and all his hosts, this was God at work in the life of children to bring them to a living faith that they may walk in victory in the promised land. Jesus Christ is the one who we are baptized into to escape the fire and wrath of God at the end of time. The wrath of God that will destroy in its entirety all the hosts of Pharaoh and all the works of the devil. even though already the devil's works are already fundamentally destroyed in Christ. The part of the Belgic Confession that we didn't read for tonight, but did last week, I would like to go to. It's making that distinction. It says, as water washes away filth, so does the blood of Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, internally sprinkle the soul, cleanse it from its sins, and regenerate us from being children of wrath unto children of God. Not that this is effected by the external water. That means when you baptize a baby, that doesn't mean that at that second, at that moment, that the inner reality happens. Not that it is effected by the external water, but by the sprinkling of the precious blood of the Son of God, who is our Red Sea, through which we must pass to escape the tyranny of Pharaoh, that is the devil, and to enter the spiritual land of Canaan. Christ is our water that purifies, but the water that purifies has to do with judgment as well. And the blood of Christ that purifies our souls is a blood that was shed under the judgment of God. And the only way we pass through judgment is to be baptized into Christ internally and spiritually. But the external is a true testimony, a true reflection, a true promise, a true proclamation of what only Christ can do. And that is also declared through the washing, the ceremony of washing in the Old Testament. A mother gives birth. She is unclean because every flow of blood results in uncleanness. Every touching of shed blood results in uncleanness. Shed blood apart from sacrificial system. Because blood has to do with dying, life shed, life removed. It has to do with death. It has to do with uncleanness. And uncleanness is a sign and symbol of our sin. And there is not one Israelite who would go through their life without being repeatedly in a state of ceremonial external uncleanness. It was a common pattern of life. You're unclean, and the only way you can be clean is through purification. And that purification would result in different types of uncleanness, whether it was the same day or whether it was the seventh day. You had to go through a washing, which Hebrews calls baptisms. And in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew, every time these washings occur for purification, it uses the word baptism, actually. They're all baptisms. They're all washings. They're all pointing to that the water of judgment is also that water that brings purification and life. It's all mixed together. And so a woman is impure because of the flow of blood at birth. And the children are born and conceived in sin. Nothing is pure. But by God's grace, there is purification. Through washing with water, symbolically signifying and sealing the ultimate way that we can only be washed by the blood of Christ. And there is in this text a declaration that the woman is purified, but then in addition to the washing, there's circumcision that's inserted in for the male child. And so the woman, after 7 days, you notice that there's this element of purification of the woman right before the circumcision of the male? 7 days it took, and then the woman was purified, and then the son could be circumcised. Oh, same thing. The son could be circumcised on the eighth day after the purification of the woman. And it's all pointing to the absolute need for a Savior. It's all pointing to Christ. These are all shadow external symbols and signs that are telling us you need a Savior. You need Jesus. This washing of purification. Now in the Belgic Confession, this washing of purification and the sacrifice that associates itself with the purification. So for a male, normally you would have the sacrifice right at the time of your washing with water. There would be the sacrifice of purification. But for a woman who gave birth, there were added days. It would be 40 days for a son, and it would be 80 days for a daughter. And I'm convinced that the reason is because the son was circumcised. And so the circumcision is a part of the whole process. It's not just the woman. It has to do with the woman who is a believer and her child. It has to do with the family. It has to do with covenant faithfulness from one generation to another. It has to do with gospel proclamation from one generation to another. From the woman to her daughter. From the woman to her son. From the covenant community. From the priest that offers the sacrifice. All pointing to Christ. And so the Belgic Confession says this. The Belgic Confession declares this. And this is really the first time I ever looked at this, and it hit me. So I had to do a lot of study on this week. It says this in Article 34. Because I thought, this doesn't seem quite right, what's in the Belgic Confession. You say, Pastor, you're supposed to know all this stuff. And I must admit, this is kind of a new thought to me. Page 87 in the Belgic Confession, it says this. It says, "And indeed, Christ's blood was shed no less for the washing of the children of believers. It was shed no less for the washing of the children of believers than for adult persons. And therefore, they ought to receive the sign and sacrament that which Christ has done for them. As the Lord commanded in the law," Leviticus chapter 12, "that they," the child, "should be made partakers of the sacrament of Christ's suffering and death shortly after they were born, male or female, 40 days or 80 days, by the offering of a lamb or two turtle doves, if you were poor." The offering of a lamb. This lamb, this burnt offering, this sin offering that the woman was to have done is declared by the Belgic Confession to apply to the child as well. Because God is dealing consistently with believers and their children. And it wasn't until I looked at Luke chapter 2 that I became convinced that that was true. Luke chapter 2 gave me the biblical proof that it wasn't just the woman, but it was the woman and her children that were involved in the whole process. Her children were essential. First, it's essential because it's birth. It's all about children. It's all about the believer and their child in Leviticus chapter 12. It's all about how they're both an essential part of that external covenant community and how they all receive signs of the blood of Christ. But does the child, is he involved or is she involved with the sacrifice of a lamb, like the Belgic Confession says? Well, in Luke chapter 2, verse 22, it says this. "Now in the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." It was the days of her purification is what it says in the New King James. Now, that's what it says in the King James. But that's not what it says in the Greek. Every modern translation puts what's in the Greek. Now, there's all kinds of reasons why I think they didn't put this in at the King James. They may have thought it was too difficult to put it the other way. But the ESV is a typical text that reveals this, and it's this. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. You see, the emphasis is on they brought him to Jerusalem. Yes, Mary went to Jerusalem for her purification, but it's him. It's their purification. And when the time came for not her purification, but their purification. Because Leviticus 12 isn't just about the mother. It's about the mother and the child, the male child and the female child. It's about the external covenant community receiving signs and seals, receiving a shadow sacramental sign that Christ is the only way. So there is the right interpretation, the right translation of the Greek, which means that it was both Mary and Jesus that the Lamb was offered for. You see, circumcision, which is far more clear in this context, circumcision too pointed out that Jesus Christ received a sign of circumcision in his body that said, you need a Savior. That's what circumcision said to Jesus. But did he need a Savior? No, he was the Savior. Did he need a lamb offered for him? No. Did he need to go through any ceremonial washing? He undoubtedly did. Did he need it in order to be internally pure? No. But he received all of the external proclamations, both as a baby and as an adult throughout his life, in accordance with the law of Moses, because Jesus Christ fulfilled every law perfectly. Luke 2, verse 39 would say it this way. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, the external laws and the internal proclamation, when all things had been fulfilled, they returned to Galilee. Jesus Christ is our circumcision. We're circumcised in Christ. Jesus Christ is our Lamb who was slain. But he received the very signs of his work as a baby, as a member of the external community of God, even though he was the founder of that community. We too would present, both verbally and sign and seal, the proclamation of the gospel to you children, here, you who have received the sign and the seal, that you would flee to Christ, that you would trust in Christ, that you would see him as the only way to escape judgment, your only way to be purified. Look to Christ and to him alone. Amen. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we pray that you would take these words and that you would use them to impress upon our hearts our absolute need for Jesus Christ. As you would impress upon that truth to your people as they would recount the story of the flood, as they would recount the story of being baptized into Moses, knowing that ultimately there would be one greater than Moses, as they would go through the ceremonial washings and the sin sacraments, the offerings, the sin offerings and the guilt offerings, as they would always look to that one perfect lamb who would take away their sin, destroy the works of the ungodly, and that they themselves would pass through judgment because they were in a secure and safe place, ultimately safe person, Jesus Christ. Help us to see it. Help us to live it. Help us to rejoice in it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.